It is very much hated by various political conservatives in the Greek world that there are popular juries. Furthermore, Pericles apparently revived a tradition of sending juries out on circuits to the rural districts of Attica. 30 circuits were reintroduced. This was a reform once attributed to the tyrant Pisistratus. In 451 or 450 BC, he also passed an important citizenship law in which henceforth all Athenians had to be reckoned as Athenian by both their father and mother, not just by one parent. This tended to hit the conservatives and the aristocrats, men of prominent families who would marry their counterparts in other cities. The supreme irony of the law is that eventually Pericles died without legitimate issue, and his son, Pericles Jr., by his mistress Aspasia, had to be made a citizen by passing a special provision to exempt the very law that Pericles had introduced. Pericles Jr., by the way, ends up getting executed for military incompetence in the later Peloponnesian War. We'll get to that in the trial of Erginusi. All of these laws were intended to break the power of any kind of aristocratic control over the electorate and to increase participation in government, especially the pay to jurors and councilmen. That meant the members of the poorest classes, if they were given a position within the democracy, they could serve. That they would be paid a living wage that would enable them to undertake this very important public service. And that was not the case in other Greek city-states. The attitude in most Greek city-states and in Republican Rome was that the citizen owed obligations of service to the state, and that meant paying for the arms to defend the state and also paying for the offices and the expenses of offices if you undertook a public obligation. That, of course, put power in the hands of the propertied classes, but it was closely linked to a notion of citizenship, not as a set of rights, but a set of obligations of the citizen vis-a-vis the state. And what Pericles, by these reforms, had done is undercut that argument and in effect said that all citizens have the right to participate in public offices, and if necessary, the state should underwrite it. And that is a very, very powerful principle that comes through from the Athenian democracy and is picked up in later constitutions in the Western tradition. And this is why there is such a strong sentimental feeling towards Athens having achieved that type of breakthrough in thinking. At the same time, Pericles' reforms, while they made Athens a full-fledged democracy, also had an unforeseen consequence that only became evident in the later stages of the Peloponnesian War. And this is the fact that within Athens emerged an increasingly articulate group of aristocrats who became more and more disenchanted with the Athenian democracy. As I mentioned, Greek civilization in general was aristocratic in its ethos and its aesthetics. Athens was no different. Many Athenian aristocrats, starting in the late 6th century BC with reforms of Cleisthenes, were more than willing to serve the democracy as the generals and the archons, that is, the leading officials, conduct diplomacy on behalf of Athens through their ties of philoxenia, guest friendship, and the like, and to gain positions of acclaim within the democracy. The rules had changed in how one is elected, but nonetheless, the natural leaders were returned to high office. Pericles' reforms were perceived by at least part of that Athenian aristocracy as undercutting that birthright. And starting probably in the 450s, and certainly gaining in strength in the course of the 440s and 430s, a new generation of aristocrats grew up, including many members who were not only critical of the democracy, but thought it should be replaced. And these aristocrats instinctively looked to Sparta as their model. During the Peloponnesian War, the second and third generations of this group will actually conspire to overthrow the Athenian constitution. There's an effort in 411 to do so. It results in a very, very strange political crisis in Athens. And really, the Athenian Assembly is the only institution to ever know that ever actually voted itself out of office temporarily and then came back in this very contorted oligarchic plot. They are the men who return to power when Sparta wins the Peloponnesian War and rule Athens very briefly. And they generally congregate in clubs, which are known as hetairai, that is, eating clubs where a symposium, which means a drinking around with, where issues are discussed. And these are the settings of many of Plato's dialogues, especially the middle dialogues, where Socrates encounters various figures in the intellectual world of Athens. It's attending these types of symposia why Socrates is targeted as no friend of the democracy.